Hey, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope you are cool wherever you are. It's a little warm here in humid New York, but as I mentioned earlier, I'm happy to be home since I've been away for about a month and just been home for a week now and still taking some time to get used to, but I'm happy to be here. Now I want to introduce a very special guest, Rowena Jane. She's a leading international yoga instructor, raw food chef, and wellness presenter. She is a qualified naturopath and nutritionist and has studied Ayurvedic medicine. Jane has been a yoga instructor for 10 years and has helped with international yoga teacher training. She is a two-time Australia Yoga Asana Champion, 2007 and 2010. She has contributed to the transformation of thousands of lives across the globe through her classes, workshops, retreats, and published articles. She has lived in India and Singapore and currently resides in Australia. I can't believe we're finally connecting. Rowena, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you? I know, third time lucky.
Yes, the third time's a charm. So people may or may not remember, but I had Rowena scheduled twice already, and due to difficulties far beyond our personal control, we had to cancel. And it was a close call today, but we made it.
We made it.
Thanks to technology. So, yes. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? I heard you saying that it's nice and humid in New York. It's the exact opposite here. It's cold. I heard you said warm and humid. I was a little bit jealous.
Well, I mean, that's what I love about being able to connect via the internet. It makes our planet really, really small.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so is it wintertime down under?
It sure is. It's just smack bang in the middle. cold snap at the moment. So
I'm going to want to talk about all kinds of foods for hot weather, and you're going to tell me what's going to keep us cozy in the wintertime.
Yep.
But that's okay. Now, my first question is, you have this lovely book out, Real Food Yogi, and actually, I want to say that one of the things I like about it, it's called The Joy of Real Food. And my nonprofit is called Responsible Eating and Living. The acronym is REAL, and that's intentional because it's about eating real food, not processed food. And it is all about joy. So I love the title. I love what it's all about. Thank you for that. And it's a lovely little book. So we're going to be talking about that. And I'm going to pull up all these notes that I made when I read this several months ago when we were first going to talk. Uh-huh. So let's get a little history about you, because you had some health issues and a lot of pain.
I did. A lot of pain emotionally, physically, and mentally.
Physical and mental. Yeah, and they're connected.
Yeah, well, of course, everything's connected, you know, body and mind. I was in the performing arts industry, actually, and life was going along pretty well, I thought. And then I guess I started struggling with an eating disorder, and that really went on for 10 years. And so I was starving and binging. And when I binged, it was bread and it was sugar and it was lollies. It was everything that's going to cause inflammation and, you know, ill health in the body. And I had constipation for a year. I had splitting nails. My hair was breaking. I was getting sick all the time. And then, you know, I woke up one day and I had rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease. And my left knee was swollen to the size of a football, and I couldn't walk. And, you know, so that took away my whole life, really. I mean, I couldn't dance, I couldn't sing, I couldn't act. But it was a stepping stone to starting to wake me up, I guess, and start looking after myself. So I tried to detox and whatnot, but I still was mentally ill, really, because I had an eating disorder. So until I'd sort of fixed that mental stuff, and then I ended up with a bleeding colon. And that was the real wake-up call. I ended up in hospital, and they said, we think you have Crohn's disease. Mm. And so I pretty much from that moment on realized I had to change my life, and went about doing that and found yoga. And yoga was the thing that helped my mindset it just put me into this space of, you know, feeling really grounded and really calm and happy and joyful, and I had so much energy, and it just made me want to eat well. And it just completely, that first class, I remember all I wanted to eat was pumpkin, and so I completely shifted from, you know, junk food and sugar and packets of bread to wanting to eat vegetables. And so that just started this whole new spiral of my life. And you know, then I started studying more and more and learning more and more about the body and learning more and more about, you know, nutrition and healthy food, and started studying Ayurvedic medicine and nutrition and became a raw food chef, and it just has gone from there.
And listen to her. Listen to the energy and listen to the joy. I love stories. I love stories like yours. And for a lot of people, they may not have gotten as bad as some of what you've told us about what you've experienced, but a lot of people are not feeling good, not feeling healthy, experiencing discomfort in one way or another. And that click, that change, it's so difficult for a lot of people. And it's hard for us to even remember those who have made it to the other side,
yeah,
how we felt before and what was it that made it click for us?
I think for me, you know, I really remember, I mean, the pain that I was in when I was in the hospital with the bleeding colon. And, you know, I remember lying in there because I had a whole night before that actually doctors came and spoke to me. And I just remember, you know, and I couldn't really sleep because I was just in agony. And, you know, it was just this, I can't, you know, just this desperation of, I can't do this anymore. Just can't do this to myself anymore. And then when they said to me, you have Crohn's disease, it was just this, it was like I just blocked everything else they set out, you know, and it was just this, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. This is either going to be my life or I have to turn it around. And I don't know, it was like this snap for me. You know, and it wasn't like I hadn't tried to heal myself in that whole 10 years. I mean, I had been desperately trying to heal myself, but I don't know, something just snapped inside of me. And I don't know whether it was spirit talking to me. I don't know, you know, because it was almost like I heard this voice say, no, this is your wake up call. And, you know, so it really was just a snap thing, moment that just went, nah, you can't do it anymore. And it was just this decision. And I think once I've made a decision in my life, that's it for me. A real decision. I think it was that real commitment to myself that I made in that moment. You know, and I think when you've really made a true, honest, authentic commitment, then you're going to just change. I know that's how it happened for me. Everyone's probably different, but.
Yeah, I like to tell people that they deserve to treat themselves well.
Yes.
And,
yes,
people, yes. And a lot of people don't feel like they deserve to be good to themselves. But yeah. I want to tell everyone out there, you deserve to treat yourself well, and that means taking care of your body and feeding yourself well. And you mentioned a number of things. You don't know what it was, spirit guiding you or whatever. I think, you know, I don't know the answers, but I like to think that we come with all the answers inside of us.
Yes.
Our body knows. We just need to find a way to talk to our bodies.
Yeah.
And then I also like to think, you know, again, I don't know what I believe. I'm not a religious person. I am a spiritual person. I like to think that there are guides out there. I don't know what that means. Mm. But I see things or I hear things, intuition. Mm-hmm. And you follow them, and it leads you to a good place. And it's all about yoga, probably encourages this, getting quiet, being mindful, paying attention.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, it's funny you touched on it. You know, I wrote in my book, you know, it is our birthright. I really believe it's our birthright to be happy. It's our birthright to be healthy. And it is, it's just that matter of tapping into that. And I think that's where yoga helped me the most, really. Just to keep it going once I'd made that decision, because it does, it puts you into that space and, you know, you create a whole new relationship with your body too, I think. And when you start looking at your body as a temple, you know, we've chosen to live in our body, you know, it's so easy for us to come home and want a nice clean house. And yet our own bodies, we're living in our body, you know, our soul is living in our body, and yet we treat it like a garbage truck sometimes, and we just shove all kinds of stuff into it. So I think it's that awareness and that awakening of, you know, wanting to respect where, you know, the body that's helping us live our life. You know, it's really the case that we're using to experience life in all the various forms that we do while we're in this lifetime, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I highlighted some things that you wrote. Mm-hmm. I want to repeat. We either choose to respect the temple in which we live, or we treat it like a rubbish tip. If we choose the former, then we can expect our body to respond with health, vibrancy, and energy, and we will exist with a far greater sense of inner peace. If we choose the latter, we can be assured that the body, being extremely resilient, will for many years do its damnedest to function as well as it can, given the circumstances. However, eventually the scale tips, something gives, and it is our health.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep. And it's you're right, it is amazing how much crap our bodies can manage.
Oh, I know. It really is resilient. That poor liver.
Well, oh, poor liver.
Poor liver. Sorry.
It is. We really need to be nicer to our livers. I think we should start a new campaign. Be nice to your liver. And you will live nicer. I'm onto that. I like it. Okay. Yoga is, yeah. I don't like when I read our article saying how trendy yoga is. It's not trendy. It's been around for so long.
I know. I hear you. It's just become this fad. I mean, look, it's great people are doing it, but yeah, it has become a bit of a fad, hasn't it? A bit of a pop culture.
Mm-hmm. But, once you learn how to do it, and I don't know how did you learn yoga?
Well, I mean, I actually had studied a little bit of it during my performing arts degree, but I didn't really enjoy it, to be honest, at the time. I didn't really appreciate its value. After I got out of hospital, I literally bumped into a yoga studio. Well, you know, accidentally, literally, whatever you want to call synchronicity. And so that's how it started for me. I just ended up at this yoga studio and it was, yeah, very much yoga therapy. And then I just kept going from there and just studying all kinds of various forms and whatnot. So, yeah.
I want to say that yoga is wonderful, but just like anything, any other field, there are good yoga instructors and there are not. There are some that aren't that good or some that don't get it.
Yeah, that's
and,
what you said.
You know, I want to make people aware that if you found yourself in a class where it didn't feel right and it didn't feel good and you were being pushed or manipulated, you weren't in the right class. And I encourage you to find another. I learned from videotapes back in the day when we used videotapes and now they're DVDs. But I found what I liked about it. I'm pretty disciplined, but what I liked is I could go at my own pace. I could repeat what I didn't understand, and nobody was really bothering me. You know, it was my own personal practice, because that's what yoga really is, your own personal practice.
Yeah, a class, when you're practicing in a class, you can, it basically leads you to that position of being able to do it, a personal practice, you know, and some people just prefer to keep going to class, but mm-hmm. I'm the same. I've really progressed to that point where I do love to go to class for that. It's more about the community for me, but I love to do my own practice now as well and just listen to what my body is telling me it needs on each given day. But, you know, I mean, in the early days, it's obviously better to have an instructor and, you know, so they can check your technique and, you know, obviously going down that path. But yeah, it's funny because it does eventually lead you to that point of being able to do your own practice.
Yeah. I'm not saying that people should learn on their own. It's something that worked for me and definitely people need to have their form corrected, because you could start doing a form and think you're right and you're not. And that's not a good thing. Now, one of the things You quoted Winston Churchill in your book. I pulled it out where you said Winston Churchill is famous for saying, failing to plan is planning to fail.
To fail. Yes.
And this is really true when it comes to taking care of ourselves and feeding ourselves properly. People say, I work hard, I don't have time, I have kids, I have this and that, I have this excuse, I have that excuse. But it really comes down to this quote, failing to plan is planning to fail.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, look, we do live in a world where we are just so busy. We've got responsibility after responsibility on our shoulders, and so I think this day and age, we really do have to just plan and make that, you know. You notice even people when they go to the market, they haven't even planned their shopping list. They'll just buy all kinds of stuff, and they'll always spend more money. And notice this is when I'm talking to clients, and their budget always goes out. And you know, whereas if they've even just planned their list of what they're going to make for the week. Completely helps their budget, all kinds of things, you know. It's amazing how just that small thing can make such a difference to
absolutely,
people and it just helps them. It just helps, yeah, it just helps them commit to what they're wanting to do, really, because it's all down on paper too. I mean, there's a quote, David Wolf spoke about this when he came to Australia, and he was saying that, you know, anything that's just in your head is never as powerful as if you've just written it down. And so it's that whole planning. You've written it down, you're a little bit more accountable for it. So it's quite interesting, isn't it? I think we're all sort of preaching the same, I don't want to use the word preaching, I guess, but we're all kind of spreading the same stuff, really, just in different words.
Yes, unfortunately, we do look like religious zealots when we're preaching the power of plants. Okay, the last thing I wanted to bring up before we talk about your book and the recipes in it is I want to talk about hemp seeds. Now, I didn't know this, but you wrote, hemp seeds are illegal for human consumption in Australia.
I know. Can you believe
that?
They are legal in every other country in the world except for Australia. When I first came back, because I was living in America and Canada, and you know, so I was used to having them all the time. And then I came back to Australia and I went to the health food shop to buy some. They're like, no, we can't have them here. I said, what? And they said, we're allowed to have hemp protein, which is the green, you know, the green protein. So it's very gritty if you put it in a smoothie. I was like, this is not the same. And then finally, we've now got it. It's funny because they actually produce it in Australia as well. They can farm it here. They do have it in the health food shop now, but there's a massive sticker on the label and it says for pet consumption only. I think that the government believe that it's promoting cannabis, you know.
Well, we're like, we're not allowed to
not
grow
quite
it here.
Same thing, really. So yeah, but you know, we're madly trying to change that over here. But
so have you eaten hemp seeds in Australia? Or should I not ask you that question?
Am I going to come and get arrested if I say yes? well, I do have packets of them in my house, and I don't have a pet. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, when I read that, that was crazy. I remember hearing from someone else from Australia who told me that all of the sugar in Australia is vegan, whereas here in the United States, we filter a lot of sugar with charred animal bones.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fascinating what we do to make a buck. Okay. So you've put together a lovely, joyful little cookbook.
Thank you.
Yes. And so do you eat entirely all raw or?
No, I'm about 80%. I mean, in winter, sometimes it goes to 70%, but I mean, I do eat predominantly raw. These days I have so much more juices and salads, you know. I think the more you go down that clean living path, the less you want to eat the heavy stuff. So, you know, some of the stuff in my book was stuff that I used to eat long time back, but I'm not as much, you know, I might eat it once in a while now, but it's not part of my daily routine so much anymore. I just find I eat more clean, you know, much lighter foods, and especially I think the yoga contributes to that as well. But yeah, I'm not entirely raw, no.
Okay, now I was curious because you apply the concept of Ayurveda to your food, and I'm familiar with Ayurveda, but it's not something that I subscribe to, and I know that raw food really doesn't jive with Ayurveda and vegan food. So how do you make that work?
Well, that's how I made it work because, I mean, like, as I said in the book, you know, when I first studied Ayurveda, my teacher was very anti. I think the raw food, the reason they say it doesn't gel with Ayurveda, or we think it doesn't gel, is because of the fact that, you know, raw food is cold and damp and all the things and for a person of Vata constitution who is a very light, you know, typically a Vata constitution is very light framed. They're going to have digestive issues, a lot of bloating always for them. You know, they're going to have feelings of fear and anxiety a lot. And so the Ayurveda believes that, you know, a lot of raw food will actually aggravate that condition. But it's more, if you look at the principles behind it, they need more oily foods, they need more nourishing warm foods. And so if you're looking at the principles of raw, we don't always, you know, dehydrate our food to, you know, to the point of just it being crisp and like crackers and things like that. You can still just dehydrate, use the dehydrator as a, as an oven and just keep making food nourishing and warm without actually having to cook it all the way. You know, the way we cook it with ovens and all that normally is it just takes the, you know, the enzymes out of it and we lose a lot of the nutrients, which is obviously why the raw food, you know, where the principle comes from. So you can combine the two. I really believe that. I mean, I think there's a lot of amazing stuff within the Ayurvedic system. And from what I've observed, just even with my own body, you know, I used to get bloated all the time and all those things. So when I apply kind of both systems together, it works for me really well. And just, you know, understanding that in winter, if you're adding some ginger and you're adding some, you know, black pepper and cumin and spices like that, then you are heating the body up and helping the cold and stuff like that. So I think there is a nice crossover there. But yeah, I can see, you know, there was, it does appear that there's polar opposites. But I think when you sort of merge and look at, well, hang on, that's that principle and that's principle. Well, actually, there are ways to sort of address both.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a lot of different recipes in the beginning of the book, smoothies and juices. I'm looking at one here right now that I really like a lot, which is the creamsicle smoothie, because it brings me back to when I was young and we had the ice cream man along and we had these creamsicle pops. Vanilla ice cream and orange, and this is so much better. And you get the same luscious combination of vanilla and orange and creamy and yummy.
Yeah, exactly, without all the detrimental inflammation and...
Yes, no inflammation, please. It's just good nutrients.
The good fats in there with the cashew milk, you know, for the brain health and the, you know, for the skin and the nails and the hair. I know, it's profound, isn't it, that we want to create these processed foods just to get the flavors. You know, it's crazy what you can get the flavors so much better when you're just using real food. It flabbergasts me.
Yeah. Now, so there, you make some really interesting things in here, like banana coconut pancakes.
Yes.
Yum. Yeah. How complicated is this?
It's, you know, it's actually, a lot of raw food looks complicated because, you know, raw food does tend to use a lot of ingredients. And so it's really daunting when you first look at it, but it's easy as, you know, these things are staples in your pantry. It's actually easy because you're just using a blender and you're just putting it all in the blender, mixing it up, and then literally using a spatula and putting it on a dehydrator tray and then putting it in the dehydrator. It's actually just as simple as, you know, making pancakes any other way. And you don't have to sit there when you're making pancakes on the pan. You have to sit there and actually, you know, do the batter and turn it over and do the batter and turn it over. And it can take you up to an hour to make a batch. Whereas you just literally blend it up, put it on the dehydrator tray, put it in there, turn it on, turn on the timer, and then you come back and check it, you know, whatever, 10 hours later, it's done for you. So it's actually, right. I find it actually easier.
So you could plan a breakfast. It's all about planning, because if you don't plan, you fail. Because it's easy to put together, but it does take the time to dehydrate.
It does. That is the time-consuming thing. But, you know, if you've got a 5-tray or a 9-tray dehydrator, what I do is make batches at once. So I'll come in and I'll just, you know, do a whole batch. Sometimes I'll double the mixture or whatever. And the great thing is they freeze really well or even just stay in the fridge, you know, and then you can add the fresh ingredients, like the fruit or whatever you're going to have it with when you actually want to have it. So it's easy. Just pull it out, bang, put on your fruit, and there you go. You're ready to go. So, you know, again, it goes back to that planning.
Right. Now, one more recipe before we go, because I can't believe we're almost done here, is I'm a big fan of, I can't, and I never pronounce it right, but it's the Vietnamese soup. Which,
oh, the pho.
Pho, which I pronounce pho, but I've learned it's pronounced pho.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just say pho. I'm the Aussie, and I say it as an Aussie.
Yeah, I like saying pho, but you have a very lovely raw pho here that you can serve warm or cold.
Yeah.
And really, really good with coconut and lemongrass and miso paste and chili flakes and yum.
Yeah, it's pretty yummy. And it's good. Sometimes I just use that as the base and then put other things in there as well, you know. But, yeah, it's so easy. Again, it's just all in the blender. It was actually inspired by Matthew Kenny when I studied and did my raw food chef training with him. We had a very complicated pho that we had to make. And it took, you know, had to dehydrate the broth. It was teaching us about making broths and about how to really deepen flavors of stuff. So it was great. But I really loved it so much. I thought, oh, this is going to take too long for me. I just want to be able to put it in the blender. And so that just inspired me to play around with other ingredients and throw other things in and just make it in the blender. And it turned out. So, yes.
Well, Rowena, I can't believe we're out of time. I just want to say I'm loving your book, The Joy of Real Food. And if anybody needs more convincing about the power of these healthy foods, you just need to look at the cover of her book. You are beautiful. You've got long, healthy, gorgeous hair, and that only comes from good nutrition.
Yeah, it does, because it was pretty horrible before that.
Anyway, thank you for getting up early in the morning to talk with us here on It's All About Food.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, I hope maybe we can connect somewhere or meet on this planet somewhere.
For sure. Yes. Hopefully next year I'm going to be coming to the States anyway, so hopefully I'll catch up with you in person.
Excellent, let me know. Okay, everybody, thanks for joining us on It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass, and remember, have a very delicious week.
Bye.